101.5 Community Kitchen, proudly sponsored by Simply Good, your self-service bulk food store at 156 Moray Field Road by KFC.
Good morning and welcome to Community Kitchen. Each week we look at some little pantry item, something to give you that inspiration for cooking during the week. I know it can be hard sometimes to think about what's going on the dinner table, but you know, I thought about the fact and I had a look back on all the different items that we've been looking at, and we've really gone to some incredible little lengths to find all the different things that are tucked away in your pantry. But you know, one thing I haven't talked about is a good old potato. It's one of those things, isn't it? You do take it for granted and it just sits there, but it does help to do little goodies in that dinner table scenario. But what I want to talk about today is the potato chip and the French fry. And that's something that, you know, it's just part of life now. I mean, people have chips, they have French fries. But the French fries are not French. The origins can be found in Belgium, where historians claim potatoes were being fried in the late 1600s. And according to Belgian law, poor villagers living in the Meuse Valley would often eat small fish fried that caught in the river. But during the winter months, when the river froze, fishing would become an impossible task and force the villagers to find other sources of food. That is when the villagers turned to the root plant or the potatoes, slicing and frying them, just like the way they prepared the fish. American soldiers were first introduced to the fries while they were stationed in Belgium during World War I. And according to early 19th century manuscript written by the then US President Thomas Jefferson, he talks about a dish called little potato deep fried while raw in small slices, meaning, of course, a little potato fried. So some historians have claimed that the recipe came from a French chef. But by 1850s, this recipe gained so much popularity that it became mainstay in several American cookbooks as French fried potatoes. And I think also it's quite interesting that the Belgium, they actually have a French fry museum. Can you believe that? And in 2014, Belgium sought to give French fries a cultural heritage status. And according to a report by Reuters 2014, Belgian fries are traditionally sold in a paper cone in a fritkot, generally a shack or a trailer, and there are some 5,000 of them in Belgium, making them 10 times more common per capita than McDonald's restaurants in the US, which is really interesting, isn't it, to think that, you know, we have this word French fries, so you just assimilate that with being in France. But when you start to think about all these little things, I sort of go from one place to another. And then what happened, of course, is looking at the American history of it, Saratoga chips was something that a particular chef created. His name was Crumb, and he called this dish potato chips. And that's interesting because we'll talk about Smiths, which I think we're all familiar with in Australia, and that the term was in use of tiny slivers of fried potatoes, and that was in about 1870. After Crumb's discovery, it became a delicacy and served in local restaurants, and its fame spread with chips being sold in grocery stores and the like. But let's just have a little chat about the Smith's chips, because I think this is interesting. In 1931, you know, going from that deep fried chip, of course, you had to have the actual dried chip that we still enjoy today. 1931, Smith's chips came to Australia. And they were called crisps back then. They were first sold in the UK by Mr. Frank Smith, and the potato chip him and his associate George Ensor launched in Australia were made in gas-fired cooking pots and packed by hand. And the early product was sold in a three-penny packets with a twist of salt. And when you think about that, threepence, so I had a little bit of a Google yesterday, and that works out to about $2 today, apparently. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but just doing that little scan on the Google, so threepence now relates to $2. But recipes from a form of fried potato that resemble the wafer thin snack food we now know as potato chips were being circulated as early as 1824. And one of the instructions was to put them into lemon and water, then dry them in a clean cloth, fry them in lard or dripping, Take care that your fat and the frying pan are quite clean. Put it on a quick fire, watch it, and as soon as the lard boils and is still, put in the slices of potatoes and keep them moving till they are crisp. Take them out, lay them to drain on a sieve, send them up with a little salt sprinkled on them. So I think the recipes started coming in. But the first known mention of potato chips came from The Household Words, a magazine written and produced by Charles Dickens. And the word chips were often applied to small pieces of food with reference to orange chips being found as early as 1769. However, Dickens was the first to write about potato chips with an article in the French Domesticality, written about a French housewife. He wrote, "She mixes the salad oil, salt and pepper. All she puts into it, she fries the potato chips or peeps into the pot of haricots or sees that the spinach is clean and the asparagus properly boiled." And it talks about all the different methods of cooking, which I think is quite interesting. But the same time that Dickens was writing about potato chips, we talk about George Crumb, the American chef. He was cooking at Moon's Lake House, and he's an African. And instead of teaching his customers a lesson because they whinged about the chips being a bit soggy, the crispy potatoes were really well received because he actually cooked them a little bit thinner and made them nice and crunchy. Hence, we've got that beautiful fried potato or French fry as we have it today. But, you know, it's interesting having a look at this really early ad of Smith's crisps, as we talk about, 1935. There's a picture of this guy who's got his little tiny van, and one of the ads on it reads, "If you feel queer, try Dunkin's beer. You get it here." And on top of that, it has ice cream confectionery and as well as Smith's crisps. So imagine having that little truck come around. You can get a beer, some ice cream and some chips, which, you know, goes all beyond all the rules we have nowadays, of course. But as I said, they were sold for threepence in 1932. And of course, today they're still going forever and ever. And in 1950, they started to introduce the cheese and onion and salt and vinegar. And I think that in 1961, they produced their first flavoured potato chips. And I think that that was interesting because that's just sort of adding that little bit to it. But I think now they're actually owned by PepsiCo or one of the larger companies. I think that's what happens, doesn't it, with all these little tiny companies. But interesting to see that just a common potato could cause such fantastic interest throughout the world. And being part of it here with Australia with our little Smith's chips, if you look on the shop shelves when you go into even the garages or supermarkets, you'll notice that they really are still a very prominent brand of chips that we see. So common chip, when we come back, we're going to talk about Kids Kitchen, what they can do to help us put that beautiful little humble potato on the kitchen table.
We'll be right back with more from the Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM.
And welcome back to Community Kitchen. Of course, we're picking our really little humble pantry item today, the potato. And who would have imagined that there's so many different claims to fame across the world? It's like the pavlova, it's like the lamington. It's one of those things, isn't it? Who made it? It doesn't really matter. Who refines it and what we do with it, I guess, is the most important thing when it comes to food. But what can the Kids Kitchen, what could their involvement be with that potato? And I often talk about the fact of introducing children into the kitchen early because there's so many little things that they can help with. And I think when you're talking about people in my generation, you know, we all had to do something. It was just part of life because there were so many jobs. So we let them off a little bit by not letting them do things like peeling the potatoes or cutting up things. If you train them and teach them early, it's a benefit to everybody. So let's look what they can do. If you've got a child who's quite capable of handling one of those really good box graters, nothing wrong with making some really lovely rosties, which is a hash brown for want of a better name. And that's just a matter of grating, draining. They can add an egg, a little bit of flour, and then frying that off. Now, depending on their age, I think that when they get to a certain age where they can cook, you know, once again, showing them the best way to do it, How fantastic for them to be able to contribute, or even getting that item ready for the family table, mixing a really good little spice, a sprinkle or something to go over their chips. I mean, we go to a place to buy something, they'll often ask, do you want to have a chicken salt or whatever? Make your own. Do some really great little combinations. And we're going to be talking about some of those in the family table today. But even making a little side dipping sauce for the fries, there's no reason why the children can't get a little bit creative there. Might want to make a really nice guacamole to go with it, or a sriracha mayo. Just, you know, let them have a little bit of a play with it, whether or not they're grating some parmesan and putting some chili in there so it's actually sprinkling that on the chips when they're fried. Just adds that little bit of combination, and it certainly does make it that little bit more interesting. But get them going and let them know about the different ways to do things. I think that teaching kids how to mash the veggies or peel them or cut them is just a really good way for their contribution into producing food and enjoying food and cooking for later parts of their life. When we come back, we're going to be talking family table.
You're listening to The Community Kitchen with Annette on 101.5 FM.
Welcome back to Community Kitchen. Our little humble pantry ingredient, the potato. What's the best way to actually cook potatoes? And a lot of people, if you say to them, what's the best way to mash? Of course, there's someone who always thinks they've got that little better combination. Do you actually put that cream in, or do you put milk, or do you add butter, or what is the secret? But with fries, I think it's one of those things, isn't it, that everyone who talks about, you have to do a double cook. And that's where you have the that really nice crunchy outside but nice and fluffy inside. But I think the thing that seems to keep coming true is it's all about the potato, what sort of potato you should have. So this is one of the things I found yesterday, tips for the perfect homemade French fry. And they all seem to come back to working with the russet potato. Other types of potatoes will not give you that classic French fry taste and texture. You can peel the potatoes or leave them unpeeled. You know, a lot of people love to have that extra roughage, so just give it a really good scrub if you're going to be leaving the skin on. It's imperative that you use a frying thermometer to make sure that the oil is at a proper temperature. Otherwise, what I find is if it's not the right temperature, your potato sucks up too much oil and then they become a little bit soggy, which I always think may as well not even have them. But make sure you also cut your fries into similar size pieces so they cook at the same rate. And also dry your potatoes. I think that's one of the things. After you've washed them, put them out on a bit of a tray and really pat them dry, because any water left on the potatoes will react with the hot oil and cause it to spatter, number one, but it just doesn't seem to crisp up. And, you know, one of the ladies who used to work at the radio station, Valerie, she always said that she used to put a fair bit of vinegar in her water when she was boiling the potatoes for that first time. And when you think about it, that would actually have that little bit of a drying effect to it. And I've done it a few times and it does actually work. So there's another little tip. But they're best served immediately. You can crisp them up in the oven, of course, at a high temperature, 400 or 200, if you do have to reheat them. But if you don't want to fry your potatoes, you can also bake them in the oven. And this is when you'll need your oven to really, really high. And we're not talking about chips that are in the supermarket that are always already part cooked. We're talking about ones that you're taking from just the humble potato into a fry. And if you line a sheet with, you know, baking paper, you can use this cooking spray. And what I find is better is I just get a big stainless steel bowl, and if I parboil my potatoes and then I let them dry and cut them up into even, then I'll just put them all in there and just give them a gentle toss with the olive oil. And this is when you can become a little bit creative too, that you can start to add some, you know, salt if you want, some pepper, maybe some different types of spices or garlic, or even putting that little bit of parmesan. So when that cooks, it sort of clings to the potato, and in the oven, this works really nicely and it works really well. And I've found that even if you're going to use the potato to do a whole bake, if you boil that potato first and get your masher and just squash it a little bit, and then you drizzle the oil over and roast it like that, I guarantee you that is just going to get that really lots of nice little crunchy bits on it, which is fantastic. And once again, this sort of comes back to the time and also the temperature. But in thinking about if you're cooking on the top of the stove, you know, there's lots of different talk about what you should use in the different oils. My mum used to use olive oil, which, believe me, it does give a good chip, but it has to be very high. And that's how she used to cook it. And she would just cut these quite smallish, thinnish type of chips, and just in a saucepan way back when. And she would cook those, and they were absolutely delicious. But nowadays, with the advantage that you can go in and buy different vegetable oils. I personally like peanut oil. I think for any of my frying, I tend to use a peanut oil because I love the flavour, and I just I don't personally like to have canola oils and those in my pantry, but peanut oil does give a really nice crunch to it. But how to cut a French fry, I think, is one of the things too. But the easiest way, of course, is to use one of those little designated chip cutters. And we used to have one which was just a little tiny cutter that you'd just push down through the fry. I mean, I just get about with a knife and do it like that, and it seems to work really well. But I think it's all about the prepping of it. And I think also having that where you've if you're going to be doing it twice, then recommended that you start off by soaking your potatoes in a large pot of water for about 30 minutes, pat dry, really well with paper towel or whatever, and then heat oil in a deep fryer or large saucepan to about 270 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 135, and then gently add the potatoes in the hot oil for about 5 minutes, and then remove the potatoes out and drain them to cool completely, and then you refry them at that 350 degrees, which is 175, for about 5 to 6 minutes. The first one's 5. So all over, you're actually going to be doing about 10 minutes, but that is the best way to do your fries. I know that you can get little basket inserts if you don't have a deep fryer. You can get little basket inserts for your saucepans. And one thing I do, if I'm just doing a plain chip, I will drain that oil and keep that. You can pop it into a container into the fridge because it hasn't had the fish or goodies in it, and you can use that again. Sweet potatoes are another thing that you can, of course, use for fries. I find that sweet potato, it does cook quite quickly, and that's where I prefer to use an oven to do my sweet potato fries. And I like those in sort of bit wedgie, because if you do quite a lot, you've got a little bit left over for that lunch meal. And of course, with your sweet potatoes, if you pop a few purple onions very, very thinly and cook those off, you get a really great combination of the onions that have got sort of almost burnt but not that beautiful flavour with the sweet potatoes, just a little bit of olive oil on those, lots of salt and pepper. And I find they cook really well if I throw them onto a tray with a bit of baking paper and I cook them on high for a certain time. You get home from work, you just pop them in the oven, and that's a lovely combination. But it's not the same as the perfect French fry. I must say that a lot of the times when you go out, isn't it lovely just to have that, on the occasion you do have them, to have that perfect French fry? I think it's one of those little skills. But give it a go, enjoy it. And the humble potato, of course, comes in many different recipes, but it's something we do like to have in our pantry. And aren't we lucky that we had those introduction to all the different types of chips throughout times, because we all do enjoy a good crisp from time to time. Thanks for joining me on Community Kitchen. Of course, I'll be back next week. And of course, what other pantry item can we look at there's always something to share when it comes to food. Thanks for listening.
Tune in same time next week for Community Kitchen, sponsored by Simply Good, your self-serve bulk food store.